Thank you for your servant Brad. Thank you for his service to us. Lord, we want to receive what he has to say from you in his exploration of the scriptures and his times of prayer. It's all coming out right now, Lord, and we thank you for him. We thank you for your pastors, your mouthpieces, your spokespeople for us and for our benefit. And we want to engage this moment and help us prepare our hearts to engage this moment and to interact with Brad on more of the deeper spiritual God-inspired level. And let us hear from you, Lord, through Brad right now. And thank you for your anointed one. We seek your anointing. We seek your just you coming through in him right now, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Awesome. Well, it's been a really fun worship time together. Thank you guys for showing up and for being here, not just, you know, here at the Learning Center, but on Zoom, and for praying for one another and really encouraging the Lord to meet each other. I was thinking about something. How many of you guys, a show of hands, and I could see you guys on Zoom. Danny, obviously, I can't see your face or the lenses, but I know that you're there. But if anybody would be willing to raise their hand if they went to Amber's wedding on Friday. It's technically Saturday in Australia, but, you know, like there's a bunch of people. I see you, Kim. I see you guys. The Moors have got their hands up. Good. Well, I don't know if you know this, but marriage is pretty cool. Amen? Anybody know that it's pretty cool? I got to thinking about, well, first of all, how many of you guys thought that their officiant looked like Nick Bonner? Anybody get that from there? I mean, he was a little bit, you know, rounder, but I apologize if he's listening. I hope he's not. I'm pretty round too, so I get that. It's called having a full gospel ministry, right? Full gospel. But anyway, speaking of jokes, right? My son was telling us all jokes, but we were waiting for everybody to come back. This is also the most subdued, like ready to hear a sermon that everybody's been, you know, since I've been at the Learning Center. So that was kind of cool. Everybody gets tired at me, you know, being snippy or snappy or whatever you call it. But in any case, one of the things that was really cool about that wedding, and it got me thinking about the officiant, okay? The officiant. How many of you guys would love to have somebody do a wedding who's the officiant but hated marriage? Right? Yeah? It would be very, what'd you say? I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
I volunteer.
You volunteer. Okay, well, there you go. How many of you guys are, no, I'm just kidding. Ready to sign up. So here's the thing. It's very interesting. If the guy doing the marriage or the woman doing the marriage ceremony does not like marriage or is against it or thinks it's the worst idea ever. Amen? Kind of got me thinking. One of my favorite people I've ever seen do a wedding is our very own Bronson Steiner. And I thought it'd be really fun if he would come up and we could do a little Q&A with regard to weddings. And it's very possible he's going to take over the sermon. So I give him full license. It's nothing wrong or bad if he starts just going off here. So, first of all, I was thinking about one of my favorite weddings was Kim and Tim's wedding, right? Anybody go to that one? How many of you guys remember the officiant leaving the wedding not once but twice, right? So I wanted to ask you, Bronson, why did you leave the wedding?
Because I only had the intentions written down and no vows. So
what are intentions? Yeah, tell, get us all kind of.
Well, the ceremony kind of goes like welcoming, and then you have the stating of intentions, then you give away, then you do the vows, and then the rings, and then you pronounce them. And I was missing. Somehow, I had printed out two sets of intentions instead of intentions and then vows. So the promises weren't going to be made. Therefore, they were not going to actually get married.
Was that embarrassing?
Oh, yeah.
Why was it embarrassing?
Well, because, you know, I was the guy, like, you know, leading them through something, and I had to fix a problem that I caused. It's like being a trail guide and leading everybody down the wrong path and then getting lost, and that's embarrassing.
Yeah. Okay. Amen. Yeah. So Dawn just said she didn't notice. How many of you guys didn't notice he left? Anybody? He literally walked off the stage. I remember one of the things he said. Did Tim and Kim, did you notice that he left? Okay, good.
Yeah, they left.
He literally walked off the stage and said, here, talk amongst yourself. And went like that, right? And I don't know who else was in the audience, but I'm sitting there going like, and I'm trying to figure out, do I go up? How do I interact? And it was just a very cute, fun moment. But how many of you guys recognized that noticed him leaving, but maybe not, noticed how the Spirit of the Lord held that moment in such amazing, powerful way, right? What does that say for who's running this wedding?
Yeah, not me, right? Yeah.
He allows God to use him in such an... How many of you guys testify when you listen to Bronson preach, he speaks in the Spirit of the Lord, like maybe nobody I've ever seen. Like, there's just something about how the Lord fills him and just covers everything. And his ability... He's crying right now. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you embarrassed to come up here.
Thank you.
But his ability to be on the fly and do things. So, Tabitha and Quentin's wedding. Anybody? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Congratulations and welcome back. I think you were here last week, but I wasn't. So, here you go. Or, no, I was. I don't know. Anyway, congratulations still. Quentin wasn't. That's what it was. But one of the things that struck me about that wedding was you made a comment in there and you charged the crowd to not speak ill of marriage. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about why that's important. Like, why you said that, what's important about that?
Okay. Well, I think we had actually talked, Quentin, Tabitha, and I had talked about the service, and they had been, I think, to Kim and Tim's wedding, or Tabitha was, and Tabitha liked that I said that at Kim and Tim's wedding, and I think Adam, who married my wife and I, he said it to us or to the people, and it's really valuable, I think, to talk well of marriage, or, you know, whatever you're doing, it's good to talk well of it, you know, promote it, I guess, but I think we all need to hold marriage in high regard, because it's a holy thing. It's a covenant. It's a promise keeping between two people. And the Lord has said that it's holy, and it reflects the church and Christ, you know? So it's just a bummer when you go to someone's house and they talk about their marriage being awful, or they don't even want to, like, they just don't like marriage, and it's like, okay, that's fine. But when you're at this wedding, you know, and you see them two get married, like, please don't badmouth the other spouse when that spouse isn't there, right? Like, if Quentin says, oh, dude, Tabitha this, I'd be like, okay, I don't want to talk about that, you know? But imagine if I was like, yeah, I know. Oh, man, what a bummer. That could be so harmful if I was to support gossip within a marriage. If anybody does that, I think it's damaging, quite damaging. So I like to charge the people at the wedding not to do that.
One of the things that's kind of fun, I dropped Ian off here because he's supposed to be running the PowerPoint. I was a little bit late. That's part of what the prayer was, if you were here in the beginning, and what I was apologizing for to Janet and stuff. But, Ian was here. I went over to Fairview Park to just pray and to kind of, you know, organize more for the sermon. And lo and behold, guess who's going for a walk? Bronson. He just goes for a walk out there just to kind of get set and to pray for the service and kind of to, you know, what does the Lord have for the people? And it was just really neat for us to sit there and go like, you know what? God has got this thing in control. We may not have it all right. We may not read the thing, the script very well. How many of you guys get that? Well, I do this as well, but like one of the things that I think is so beautiful about Bronson, and it doesn't go quote unquote perfect as scripted, but you get who he is in the middle of it and his heart in the middle of it. And there's something special about that. And I know that marriage is not easy. I know it's not easy in your house, especially with as many little people as you have. I know it's not easy in my house with the bigger people that we have. But it's not just them. It's working out life together and so forth and so on. But there's something powerful that God has given Bronson for sure. I think he's given it to us, to me. Miranda talked about this today, right? If you feel not worthy to go into God's presence, repent. Repent of that feeling, not so much repent of the foolishness that you've done, right? But repent of holding yourself back from God. It doesn't matter what you've done. I don't care if you're Hitler. I'm sorry. Hitler can still come into the presence of God if he wants to be there. The choice is, do you and I want to be there, right? That's a hard thing to say. That's scandalous. Well, we're okay with the prostitute going. Right? We're okay with the poor people. We're okay with those people. But God forbid Hitler or Genghis Khan or, you know, the tyrant of in our lives, current tyrants are little kids before the Lord. And they get to play with Jesus at any given moment. And Bronson has had that gift from as long as I know, as he gets to walk before the Lord. And he goes in there and he stands up before marriage and says, marriage is a good thing. And yeah, there's stuff to work out. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good for now. I might call you back. I don't know. We'll see how this goes.
Cool.
Especially if I get in trouble, you come rescue me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bronson. Everybody, they're clapping on Zoom. This passage that we're working through, a lot of you guys know we're working through 2 Corinthians. And I want you, FW community, that's how we do our little, but FWC, Faith Worship Community, I want you to hear 2 Corinthians as you are in the perspective of Paul and you're trying to defend your ability to preach or speak for the Lord. I'm not going to name a name here, but we have another friend from our church who did a wedding, and they don't know that I'm going to say this, so I'm really going to be as anonymous as possible. I'm sure they'd be fine. But they walked into doing a wedding, and all they heard, like at least part of it, I won't say the entirety of it, was having to defend their right, if you will, to stand up there and do the wedding. They were completely licensed and, you know, ordained, if you will, through the community. But yet somehow there was this deal of like, we have to defend ourselves sometimes to say, no, when you get married, when I say, you know, I now pronounce you man and wife, guess what? You're married. I don't care how bad the ceremony went. Right? But it's true. You're married. There is a legal something that happens in that that has nothing to do with the quality of the show. And let's not pretend that most weddings are a show, right? One of the things that's so beautiful about watching Amber's and your guys' wedding, Quentin and Tabitha, is that it wasn't a show. That it was, and in many ways more beautiful than almost any wedding that was anybody spent, you know, $100,000 on. Like, who knew the Allerton's yard could be decked out so incredibly, right? That the process and how just everything came together. I love Tabitha. I'm going to now out you a little bit, but she's talking to Quentin. We're doing the marriage counseling stuff, and something happened where something just showed up magically, and Quentin's like, oh my gosh, like, how does this happen? God is so good and stuff. And Tabitha goes, yeah, well, get used to it. You're going to have to get used to God just blessing us, because it's just been happening to me for like X number, you know, especially lately, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, God loves you. Get used to it. Get used to him blessing you. And when we talk ill of our marriage with God, that does something, doesn't it, to the gospel? Who wants to hear all of the complaining? All of how hard it is. Oh my gosh, this coronavirus is so miserable. God hates us, and on and on and on. Do you know how hard it is to walk with the Lord? Do you know how challenging it is to be married? Do you know that woman? Do you know that man? This is more my wife, right? Do you know him slamming the microwave door at 5:30 in the morning after I pleaded with him not to do that? She comes out of the room. She goes, yeah, that right there. That was what I was talking about. I totally forgot. I'm so sorry. Right? Like, you just get lost in your own stuff, and you're married, and it affects each other and stuff like that. And it's not to say that it's not difficult. How many of you guys would say, oh my gosh, I have to be honest. I have to say it like it is. It's hard, right? Well, yeah. And guess what? It's good. It's good to be a Christian. It's good to be known and loved by the creator of the universe, right? This isn't like the bumper sticker that just says, oh, smile, Jesus loves me, right? But it's like the bumper sticker that says, smile, Jesus loves me. What if that was true? How many times are we challenged to answer that question in our heart? Smile, Jesus loves me. Can you say that? Can you feel his smile on your heart and on your soul? The Apostle Paul had to do that. Another thing that I really loved about that wedding, well, we're going to get back to that in a second, but I'm going to have to take this off because trying to be in solidarity with you guys, but I can't do it because my glasses, they all get foggy. I know, I don't know how to breathe. That's been a problem my whole life. We'll breathe now, though. Breathe in his spirit. Remember last week we talked about, for you guys that weren't here, we talked about that we are engaged in this ministry. And sometimes we're challenged when people don't get it. You go to proclaim the gospel. You go to say, hey, I want you to meet the Lord, and you want to talk to him about it, and they don't get it. Now, sometimes I can't articulate. We all know that Brad McDermott has, you know, some difficulty communicating. I'm fantastic, actually, at communicating. It's the nouns and the verbs and the adjectives. I struggle with those, right? Maybe some of the conjunctions, certainly punctuation. But sometimes people don't get it just because of the stuff that's going on in their world. They can't get their head above their own world. That's one of the reasons why I wanted us to pray for each other. Because if you just pray for God to meet you, sometimes that's just, you can't get out of your own stinking head. But sometimes if you're praying for others, and I want God to meet you, and I want him to transform you, and I want him to change your soul, I want you to know how good it is to be loved by God. Right? That changes how I orient myself. That's another reason I want us to read this passage in this book as though we are the Apostle Paul. And what does it take for us as FWC to love other people? So then he goes on and he says this. He goes, for we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ our Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts and gave light. So it starts with God rescuing him, right? And he gives the knowledge of the glory of God. And then he goes on to say this, that we have this treasure in clay jars. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter if they think you're qualified to marry them. That doesn't change the reality and the legality of the fact that you are married. Right? But, you know, we got to be honest. We got to tell people like it is. Well, Paul goes on like this. He goes, we are this clay jar, right? We're this treasure in this clay jar. And he goes, we're afflicted on every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be visible in our bodies. We are proclaiming something. We are bringing to light something. Does that mean that we don't, no kidding, feel like we're going to die sometimes? Does that mean sometimes that we, no kidding, want to die sometimes? Right? I don't want to do this. And when I say die, it could be like, you know, some sort of a, you know, like I've shared before that I've often thought it'd be great to just like not exist anymore. Right? But it's also sometimes I was thinking about this, I'm driving. How many people do we know who used to be pastors or used to be in the church or even used to be Christian, but they're no longer serving? They're not necessarily not Christian, but they're not dealing with the dilemma, if you will, the challenge of being a Christian while pain and suffering is going on, especially in our own heart and our own lives, our own longings. I want to do so many things that Christianity gets in the way of. And most of the things that I want to do are simply to numb me of the pain that I'm experiencing, the dissonance, the difficulties, the struggle. So Paul, he's honest, but he goes, but in the midst of it, you haven't failed me yet, as we sang today. My kids hate that. You know, like when they go, why do they say your faithfulness or you haven't failed yet? That means like maybe he's going to. Well, we're just talking about the present. We have a promise that he won't, but we're talking about so far, do you have any evidence that he has failed you? Has he really? Let's talk about it. Let's look at it. And yes, I think that most of us have gone through things that have been heart-wrenching and terrible. There are things that have been done to you that should never have been done. Horrible, terrible things. But I want to believe that God will meet you in that the same way that he's met me in some of the terrible things that did happen to me. He sees you, as we're going to see as we get going on this. It says in verse 13 of chapter 4, but we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture. I believed and so I spoke, and we believe so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. We are banking on resurrection. He hasn't failed us yet, and I'm going to praise and I'm going to jump around and scream and yell and be excited. I'm not going to manufacture it, but I'm going to tap into something a little bit different, a little bit deeper that I have experienced in those moments of worship, in those moments of darkness. I remember a time when I was, I don't even want to tell you, it's so embarrassing where I was, but I remember being in this place and knowing the Holy Spirit was there. And I was embarrassed by it back then. I'm embarrassed, but I would be embarrassed to tell you the details, but I knew his spirit was there. He has been with me in those darkest times. And he's been with me in those joyful times. I remember one time I was watching this wedding, right? Like we were all, you know, that I keep talking about at Amber's wedding. And I remember that moment just before I came out to marry Allie 17 years ago and a few months, right? 6 months, 17 and a half years. I'm standing off on the side of the stage, and I remember the feeling going, this will be the most awesome experience I've ever had until the wedding feast of the Lamb, until that great day when Jesus comes back and we get to be married and wed to him. We bank on this thing. There's this hope inside of us that we have to take time to tap into. We talked about that, and that happens most often in worship. It's not always. Sometimes it's a surprise. Sometimes it's a call on the phone. Sometimes it's reading scripture. But the Lord, if you invite him into it, he will meet you. And sometimes it's when you're just sitting over there at the park and randomly some dude walks by and you're like, hey, I need to talk to you. I've got something I need to share. Will you pray for me? And guess what? Bronson prayed. And it was just perfect. Just perfect. I didn't orchestrate that. I just asked the Lord to. goes on in verse 16. It says, we don't lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day for this slight momentary affliction. Remember, we talked about how he is preparing us for the weight of glory. We're going to carry each other's burdens somehow. We're going to be in this thing. We're going to stand up and offer salvation to people. We are the officiants. You guys are the officiants sometimes of people getting to know Jesus Christ for the first time. You're going to stand there and you're going to introduce a husband and a wife to each other. Is that cool? That's one of the coolest things. I meant to ask Bronson that, like, what is the thing you like most about that? And that's just an exciting, exciting moment to be able to say, hey, you guys, you're married now, right? And now you can kiss your bride, or the other way around. And then he goes on to talk about the earthly tent and the temporariness of this life and the temporariness of the affliction. If we can just hold on. And then in verse 11, he starts this way. Chapter 5, verse 11, he says, therefore, the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God. That's the part that was so amazing to me that just stuck out over and over again. And he's going to hit this in a couple different ways. And this is the part that I want you to understand. And I want you to know that you are carrying to other people. You are known to God. You are known in that dark place where you're just completely embarrassed that anybody would know you were there. That's a place where I want to hide. But that also is a place of comfort. There is a place there that God knows you, and he knows how painful it is sometimes. He knows how you do want to hide. He knows how sometimes you don't want anybody to see you. It's that whole thing that Allie was saying. Sometimes we do, you know, sometimes that's playful. Amen. Yeah. We want to run, play tag, duck, duck, goose, like Dawn, right? So, but then there's that part where we really don't want to be caught. It is so hard for me to be loved. It's hard for me to be loved by my wife. Especially in those moments. There's moments when I'm just like completely naked internally. And okay, otherwise too, we're married. It's okay. But, you know, fight naked, right? But that was one of our jokes back in the day is, you know, if you want to have a fight, fight naked, you know, like that way it's like a little bit more humiliating and then you don't have to fight as badly. So, but the point is, sometimes we don't want to be loved because of just how embarrassed, how awful we feel, how yucky we feel. We forget that Jesus says what? In John, 1 John, he says, if you're of sin, he's faithful. Just confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin. In a moment, you're made clean again. In a moment. It doesn't change, like, again, what you think about whoever told you this. It doesn't change if there's a priest involved. It doesn't change if you're, like, involved one-on-one. It doesn't change. The reality is God does something there, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. And the encouragement is you can step into worship. Again, this is what Miranda was saying, without any previous qualifications. Do you know that we can ordain you as a church? Let's say, Ryan, you want to marry your friend, right? And you've got these two people getting married. And so he could come up here right now and go like, okay, well, you know, we go through a process of it, but through the church, we can give you the opportunity to marry somebody. And it doesn't matter if you've had any training. You're what, 16, 17? 16 or 17? 16, right? 17, sorry. Right? We're going to probably, you know, have some questions and conversation, but, you know, Daniel, we could do the same thing. Daniel might be a little bit more qualified, right? He might have some theological training, but, right? So Mariah, Janet, anybody here, right? There's this element where there's a legality aspect of it that can be covered by the church. In fact, this is kind of sad in my opinion, but you can go online and get this piece of paper. What's that? Yeah, $5. You could go get married by Elvis. It could be a game. It could be a show or whatever the case is. In fact, Paul even mentioned this. We're not like those peddlers out doing it for money, right? That's not who we believe we're to be. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It doesn't mean it's not legal in some ways. You can still become a Christian through the most crazy ways possible. You could walk down on a big stage. You could walk down on a big football field. You can be sitting at your home. You could. There's all these crazy ways that you can give your life to Christ. But the reality is he is the one doing the thing. There's an ordination that happens with him. And what I'm trying to encourage us, again, as Faith Worship Community, is we have the credentials because he has called us and he has empowered us. And I keep forcing that and pushing that and repeating that because I want us to believe it. I think for us as this community, we hold back because somehow we disqualify ourselves. And I get that I'm in front of that. And the more I understand that and the more I repent of that, the more that's going to allow others to do it as well. But I just want to say that you could go first. I was kind of joking with Janet. She didn't hear me when I came in, but she's like, can we start, Pastor? I'm like, go ahead. Like, I'm not in charge. You don't got to wait for me. You guys can have church and I don't even make it. And the word would be honored and proclaimed because there's so many here that could step up here and just do it. One of the funny things is Danny always looks around. Like if I'm not at church and he is, he starts looking around. Then he's trying to think, okay, like what passage are we on? And he starts looking and he goes like, God, is there anything you want me to say to these people? Like he's already prepared. Scripture says we should be ready in season and out of season. This is what I love about Mike Hendren, right? Mike Hendren refuses to let the Lord's name go silent. Somebody says, hey, give a shout out to the Lord. He says, all right, I'm in. Let me at him. Give me a mic. Give me whatever I need. And he steps in. Give me a mic. That's funny. I think I'm funny. But in any case, you guys can proclaim because he knows you. You are known and you are redeemed. It says, verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are well known to your conscience. The Lord does that work in the conscience of others. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in the outward appearance and not in the heart. We can talk good, not just of our Lord, but of our community. This community is amazing. I had a conversation earlier this week, and it's an exercise for me. I got to remember these things. Let me ask you a question. How many of you guys would think of Faith Worship Community as being exactly where we're supposed to be right now? We don't have to change at all. God can do whatever he wants to do in us, and he could change us if he wants to, but we're missing nothing. Right? You go, but wait a minute. Look at who our pastor is, right? Or look at who our this person is, or look at who our that person is. Guess what? Me plus infinity equals what? God is infinity. Me plus God equals plenty. Too often we go into these conversations, I'm not enough. But guess what? Repent. There's only one who is enough. And all you have to do is, I'm married to him. The guy up there said, pronounced me. That's all I know. Doesn't matter how stupid or foolish or dumb or whatever. Doesn't know what matter what I'm doing. I would say repent and act like you're married to him. Sure, because that's going to make a better marriage. But doesn't change the fact you're married. I know I'm moving quickly. We got a lot to do. What time is it? 11:42. Okay. I'm not going to be able to get through all this. I think that's a good spot right there. He says in here basically this, that our job as Faith Worship Community is to have a ministry of reconciliation. You are the officiants of weddings to introduce and marry people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on in here and he says that, like, and it's all this theological stuff, right? Like people have made it. He says, if you skip down to verse 19, it says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. All right, fine. I'll back up. 16. From now, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone in Christ is a new, so if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. That's what we're proclaiming, right? We are new. The old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All of this is from God, who has reconciled himself through Christ. He has given us, you, me, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them. He's entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors. We are the officiants for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made sin. He became sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The theology of that is up here, right? But as we move in that, why I want you to pray for each other is somehow when you pray for one another, for people to meet the Lord, God somehow magically meets you. When you get ready to do a sermon, when you stand up here, God will meet you. I don't care how prepared you are. If you stand in front of somebody to marry them, God will meet you in that moment. He shows up every time. He has never failed me yet. I always picture whenever I go to preach or whenever I get up there, there's this moment where I picture Samson, right? Samson's the guy who got his hair cut because he, you know, was out playing with women, one particular one. And so he's gets his hair cut and he ends up getting his eyes gouged out and he ends up having to push this thing around and all this stuff. And there's this wonderful, wonderful little passage in the scripture that says this. It says, but then his hair began to grow, right? The Spirit of the Lord was on him because of this hair. And I think of Samson, right? He stands up and they put him before, and they're going to mock him. They're going to put him up before these two columns. And he prays this prayer. He goes, God, if just one more time, just give me one more. And I think of it this way. God, just give me one more sermon. You may not show up tomorrow, but right now I need you one more time. And scripture says he knocked those pillars down with all his strength. And he killed more Philistines in that day than in all his days before. When you stand up there, ask for the Lord just one more time, just for this moment. Worry about next moment later. I always wonder about when people go up to the mountaintop, right? They go up and they want to, you know, go meet the Lord. And sometimes if you're like me, you want to hold back, right? Like you go on a retreat. How many of you guys have gone on a retreat? You hear about the mountaintop experience, right? You go up there and if you're like me, sometimes I don't want to meet the Lord. Why? Because if I meet him, I know tomorrow I'm going to go back to that crappy place down on the bottom. And I really challenge that, because it's that mountaintop experience that gets you through. You don't know. It's no guarantee that you're going to turn back tomorrow. It's no guarantee that tomorrow is going to bring more hardship, but that mountaintop experience might get you through that hardship. It might get you through the crappy moment that you're going to have to experience. And we had to trust God. We got to pray. We ask him, God, please, please, please meet me. Please. Every time I do this, every time, God, will you somehow change me so that I don't have to, you know, scramble all the time, right? That's a prayer. I don't want to have to scramble all the time, but he hasn't changed me in that way. He's gotten me to trust him to meet me in it. Now, yes, it'll be nice, and Janet's going to love me more and more if I'm not scrambling. That is just one of those things. But we may not ever be a church that doesn't scramble, but we will always be a church who inhabits the glory of God, right? Let's pray. God, there was so much more I wanted to say. I want to say this, and this is for all of us, but forgive us, God, for speaking ill of our relationship to you. Forgive us for our over-victim mentality of how much of a martyr and how hard it is to walk with you. It is difficult, but it's a good difficult. Remind us of that mountaintop experience. Remind us of what's behind the scenes, that you are working, that you hold the space, even though we have to leave the stage sometimes, but that your heart will shine through us no matter what, in spite of us. Forgive us, God, for our doubts in that. God, I'll even ask this. Forgive us for our lack of preparation, in the sense that in my mind, in my heart, I just get afraid. I get afraid you're not going to meet us. I spend too much time in that little space and not enough time just trusting you and being with you. But I do thank you that you haven't failed me yet, that you have not failed any of us yet, and that that doesn't reduce what you're doing in each other's hearts. Be glorified here today in spite of us, God, but also because of us. Shine through these clay jars. Continue to prepare us for that weight of glory. Let us walk out this ministry of reconciliation. In your name, Jesus.